Triple M rocks finals footy.
And everything sounds bigger. Oh! Every massive mark.
Massive big hanger.
Every stunning goal.
Clifford's back. 4 goals in 4 minutes.
For McDonald's.
Oh, they're fired up.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
We are down to the best eight teams of 2017 in the AFL tonight. It's first versus fourth here at the Adelaide Oval. The Crows taking on GWS. They met in round one. It was a magnificent, skillful game on that occasion. I reckon we'll get the same tonight. What a team we've assembled here is Triple M Rocks finals footy. All of these men know what finals are all about. Mark Ricciuto, Dale Lewis, Wayne Schwoss. And then there's me. There's Chris Dittner as well. Rue, firstly to you, the Crows tonight, how nervous are you? Are you super confident or is this a 50-50?
No, I think all these games are close to 50-50. I think if Adelaide play like they have for most of the year and GWS play the way they have for most of the year, I think Adelaide will win. I think if Adelaide have a slightly off night and GWS play well, I think they'll win. And I think if Adelaide play really well and GWS have an off night, I think the Crows could win by 5 or 10 goals. But anything can happen. It's a game of inches. We know that. And they're both pretty well prepared. They've had unusual last couple of weeks, I guess. GWS were ordinary last week. The Crows have lost their last two. But I think tonight's Judgment Day. I think they've both been looking for the finals for a few weeks, and I think they'll play accordingly. It'll be tough early.
I reckon the arousal level of GWS, they've got a theory about themselves that they're born to play this style of footy. I think they've got really good healthy egos that have been building, and I think word coming out of Sydney from a few weeks back suggesting would you hurry up with the big stuff.
So really? We can get healthy on the ego.
So we can get on the big stage.
What are you suggesting?
No, well, good healthy egos that they are more interested when it's on the real stuff. The season's gone on. All they want is to be able to try and get redemption from last season. Get out here, get amongst it, and show everybody that they are a force.
I reckon winning form's good form, and whatever healthy ego they had got clipped 2 weeks ago when the Cats pulled them apart and dropped their pants at Simmons Stadium. They were really disappointing, Louis. I'm glad the bye's over. I'm not a fan of it. I think the bye actually disadvantages the teams that finish in the top four. They deserve to have some sort of favourable advantage. I actually think that it's 60-40. I think that home ground advantage, a distinct advantage for the Adelaide Crows. Although coming into this, they lost their last two games. I think that they've got a parochial crowd behind them. Though in saying that, they haven't won a qualifying final since 2006, the Adelaide Crows. But in saying that, you don't have Rory Sloane. I think if you turn up and you play well to the level that you have throughout most of the year, you win and you win comfortably.
Yeah, I think everyone's really looking forward to it. I know. I was just speaking to Heath Shaw down in the rooms before they come out in the Oval, and they are ready to go. I think they did get their wings clipped by the Cats, but they really got their wings clipped in round one here as well. That was probably one of the biggest surprises of the year. 56 points, but it felt like a 100-point loss. So I think they'll come over here fully aware they're going to have 50,000 people here against them.
Rue, I spoke to you on Breakfast Radio here in Adelaide this morning on Triple M. I asked you the question about Stevie J. On a night like tonight, the GWS Giants are still basically a very, very young outfit. Surely Stevie J gives a bill of stability, an old head on young shoulders. Do you know what I mean? I would have had him out there tonight for GWS.
Yeah, look, experience, absolutely. Finals experience, absolutely. Big game, big moments in big games. You get all of that, Dits. What you don't get is defensive pressure, and you don't get the fitness and things like that. Depends what you want. I was surprised they played three tools. I probably wouldn't have played either Patton or Lobb and maybe played Stevie J or maybe another small. A lot of the good sides or all the good sides have got great forward line pressure. So it's a little bit surprising they didn't play him. And I thought if the rain was around as well, Dits, I thought that's another reason why you wouldn't play three tools as well. But I rang my fisherman, yes. And he gets the mail, and he said that might be a few little spots around halftime, but it's pretty clear.
All right, Louis, isn't this why a club like GWS picks up a Stevie J or not?
In theory,
like this.
Well, I reckon you could do the same argument. Deledio's the one. You can't play them both. You got Deledio for a bit of cream.
Never won a final, Deledio.
Exactly. So you got him for some cream to get on top with these kids and a bit of polish and a bit of finish.
What's all his fault?
Pardon?
Oh, is it all his fault?
No, but you're talking about experience in big games. And that he's never played in a winning final in 240 games of AFL footy.
I reckon Leon Cameron's
might be his
bought into the media debate of the lack of forward pressure. I reckon he's succumbed. And they've had that debate and they've tried to hang on. And
well, they did drop De Boer 2 weeks ago to bring Stevie J in against the Cats, Louis.
Well, Bristol said today, BT, on our show, that Stevie J was out of that side, that Geelong team. and went to Leon Cameron and said, give me one more go. Please, can I have one more go? And that was his last go down there, and we know what happened down there. He didn't really deliver on the goods, so I think that was the last chance card.
Yeah, if that's true, and I don't doubt that it's not true. I mean, you've used your final trump card. That's it. You've got no more, and, you know, it won't be spoken publicly, but I would imagine that that might be curtain calls for Stevie J. With all due respect, he's been a superstar, but what we're really saying is this – sometimes when we get to this time of the year, there's this romantic notion. Stevie J wrote his Ten Commandments in the paper. Not a bad article too, by the way. But is the decision to bring him in because of what he's done previously? And is that connected to what he's been able to do recently this year? He's been a great servant. Yeah, we know what sort of player he's been. But are you bringing him in for that one or two magical moments at the expense of the lack of defensive pressure inside their forward?
It's a big risk. The question is, are you a coach who goes in going knowing what you're going to get? Or hoping to get.
Well, it would be the second.
He's not fully fit, and he's had some injuries. But
he'd be a good gambler. He'd be a good roll of the dice.
What would you do, Roo, if you were coaching the Giants?
I'm a bit of a sucker for backing in older blokes and asking for one more time, thank you. But maybe they've already done that. Maybe that's what they did the last week. But forward line pressure is critical. And if you're going to play Cameron, he's got speed, but not brilliant defensively. Patton, a bit sluggish. Lob, a bit sluggish. They brought De Boer in, so they know what they'll get there. Green, they'll know what they're getting. Delidia, they know what they're going to get. I think it's important. If you let Rory Laird, Brody Smith, and those players run it out of defence, I think the Crows will score heavily.
All right, good on you, boys.
De Boer will shut down one of those two.
Good on you, Roo. For McDonald's, Triple M Rocks finals footy. Time to get into the boundary now. We've got two ruckmen about to talk to each other. This will be good.
Yes, I've been joined by the Premiership staff from Port Adelaide, now assistant coach at the Giants, Dean Brogan. Brogues, thanks for chatting to us. A massive game, mate. It comes without any sort of preposition going into this match that you have to be switched on right from the start.
Yeah, look, we're under no illusion what the task we've got ahead of us tonight. But saying that, though, I think our boys are really looking forward to it. We know Adelaide fans are quite crazy. There'll be 55,000 here, and our boys are really going to like that. So, yeah, no doubt, mate, we have to start well and try not to let Adelaide score 140 points.
Talk us through the discussion at selection. How long did the debate go for around Stevie J?
Oh, well, the thing is, when you have the week off, you probably have way too many meetings and too longer meetings, and you talk about absolutely everything. Look, it was a tough decision. It could have gone either way, but we feel that bringing in Matty De Boer and Harry Himmelberg is going to give us a different look ahead of the footy. And, we know Steve's a champion, and he's handled it really well, and he'll play tomorrow in the twos. And, you know, Stevie, he'll probably dominate tomorrow and give us more headaches for next week if we get through.
Rogues, Mark Ricciuto, were you surprised that Kane Corns come out Monday and basically declared that Stevie J wasn't going to play? And if so, how did he know?
Yeah, mate, it doesn't look good, does it? I had a good chat to Kane about that. And, he's fired a few shots this year in the media, hasn't he, Kane?
He's got a few right, too.
Well, mate, the thing is, I rang him and he reckons he heard it somewhere from Melbourne. But, you know, stuff leaks out and... To be brutally honest, mate, Leon only picked the team yesterday. So Stevie J, as far as I knew, Monday was still in the team. So I don't know where he got it from, but it was a big statement. But, yeah, it looks like he's got it right, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. Brogues, Louis, you guys play your best footy, like most teams, when the pressure is up and about and the tackle count is high. Adelaide are very good at their pressure acts. Something you'd be focusing on, I reckon, that first 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, mate. Look, I think... you know, we all know finals are based around that, and Adelaide are very good at bringing that sort of pressure, especially on their home deck. But we've watched when they played Sydney the other week here, and Sydney really took it up to them. And the teams that have really come at them and kept them at a low score and put pressure on, obviously, have done well with Adelaide. I think it's important for us. We can't let Adelaide get on these three. They're the best in the comp at kicking three in a row and then five in a row. So if they do what that if they do that to us tonight, we'll be in a lot of trouble.
Brogues, what are here. When you pulled it apart, what were the takeaways from the loss to Geelong 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, mate, look, our first half was actually not too bad. But, mate, to be brutally honest, we were terrible, shocking in that second half. And, look, if we were about to have, you know, we assessed it really hard on them and said, if we're going to play like that, we'll go out in straight sets. And that's not how you go about it. And, there was a few honest conversations to be had after that game. And, look, I'm glad it happened then instead of happening. Hopefully it doesn't happen tonight or through a final series. So it was good to strip it back a little bit and go hard on a few individuals. But overall, we've moved on from that. But, yeah, it was a good lesson for us.
Brogues, you were a very timid ruckman in those showdowns many years ago. did you have a chat to Toby Green about his anger management?
Oh, look, thing with Toby is, and we all know, boys, he plays on the edge, and every week we're always holding our breath with something. But look, if you actually really look at it, what he's actually done, it hasn't been horrendous. Like, he hasn't king hit someone or anything like that. It's just been little. He's been up to MRP most weeks, but he hasn't done anything that's been horrendous. And I'm sure every other club would love him playing for it. But in saying that, though, we can't have him missing games because he is one of our, he is obviously a superstar, and we need him out there.
I look forward to when he gets camped under the first one and puts the leg out for protection, Brokes. I really look forward to the crowd response.
It's going to be fun, isn't it? We'll be on our breath, though.
How did you feel yesterday when you heard the news that Rory Sloane wouldn't play?
Oh, mate, we were jumping up for joy. Nah. Oh, look.
High fives. Yeah.
Oh, look, obviously he's a super player and he means a lot to their midfield and they jump on his back when he's going well. But, look, in saying that, though, mate, the Crouch boys have been unbelievable this year and old Douglas goes under the radar a bit too. So they're quite well equipped to you can't replace a guy like Roy Sloane, but I'm sure their midfield's good enough to get the job done. But I've been really impressed with Greenwood. He's an ex-basketballer too, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah.
I remember someone did that years ago.
Been there, done that, haven't you, bro?
But Adelaide got a super midfield and, obviously Betts and Cameron get up there and put some speed around the footy. So, yeah, it's a big loss for them, but in saying that, I'm sure they'll be all right.
Brogues, Brett Delidio brought in to your team for a little bit of cream on top, chasing a bit of final success, has not won a final himself. What do you expect out of him tonight? What sort of role?
Yeah, look, the thing with Lids is every week he's gotten better. And we probably felt he was probably one of our best against Geelong the other week in a really tough game. And look, he's building and he's had a good month at it now and we're ready for him to explode, really. His body's good. He's in a good headspace. He's got that little bit of X factor. His connection between, the half forward line, he's a really good connector, uses the ball well. He's got good repeat speed, and he's actually really smart, real intelligent. And, look, let's hope if he can get up around the 20 possessions and kick 5 goals, we'll be happy.
Sounds easy, folks.
Yeah.
The midfields, if they can get clean disposal and give their forwards clean entry inside forward 50, that'll have a big say in tonight, which means that I'm really looking forward to the contest between Mummy and Sammy Jacobs.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, Mummy seems to relish these big moments. He's been such a great recruit since coming over from the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, look, obviously everyone knows what Mummy can do in the ruck, and I'm quite passionate to those sorts of ruckmen, but he has really good battles with Jacobs, and I was actually watching, as a coach, you look at everything, and I watched the last few times he's played Jacobs, and he's done really well on him. So Mummy comes in really confident tonight. But in saying that, Jacobs was, I thought, a bit stiff not to make All-Australian. He's in terrific form, and, Jacobs is going to come out hunting for him. But it is going to be a great battle, and we know if Mummy's playing well, we play well. So, that's the responsibility he has and he relishes, but we need him to to have a really good game tonight, for sure.
Eddie Betts has kicked 17 goals the last 4 games against GWS.
Yeah, hasn't he?
Most of those on Heath Shaw. Are you going to give him another crack, or will young Williams get a go?
Yeah, look, I think it will depend what he sort of does. If he gets up the ground a bit more, it probably doesn't suit Shorey as much. But if he's playing deep, we got to back Shorey in if he does go to him. I'm not going to tell you who's going to who, but, I'd say he'd be around the mark, Shorey, on him, but... Look, it just depends on what they do, mate. If he goes up the ground, then we're going to probably have to hand over a bit more. But, look, sure, he has to get the job done. He's an absolute superstar, Eddie. And if he's kicking goals from the boundary and the crowd's going off, then, we could be in a bit of strife. So we've got to try and limit his impact on the scoreboard. And we've got to back Shorey in, mate.
And, bro, surely Phil Davis won't get whacked by anyone tonight. They're all his own teammates. He should be okay.
Yeah, look, you can't touch anyone anymore, do you? So it's not like the old days. Hey, bro. I was standing next to Biggles and me and him used to go at it as well, but
ships in the night, you two.
Settle down, cupcake.
Mate, the push and shove's gone these days, isn't it, really, which is a bit upsetting. But I think where it's going to be won, mate, is contested. It hasn't changed for 100 years footy. Whoever wins contested footy and clearances and has more tackles normally wins the game.
Good on you, Brogues. Thanks for joining us. Good luck.
Thanks, Ty.
Hey, Louis, firstly to you, I want to look at a couple of the other games.
Can I just jump in there, Ditch? I just want to...
Oh, please.
Rue and I have been trawling Twitter.
Yeah.
And there is some talk that Rory Sloane may have passed a last-minute fitness test.
It was all part of the plan, Rupert.
That's from Jay Clark.
Hey,
Jay-Z, our very own Jay-Z.
Yeah, our very own.
Yep. He wouldn't put that out there.
No, not at all.
So
that's huge.
Looking for a bit of me huge. Time. Pendlebury's come back and said, I think he plays.
Can Rhett Biglands, can Rhett Biglands get down to the rooms? Would they let him in, Rue, or not?
They might.
I'm talking to our producer, Vinny Shannon. When he Rhett Biglands down in the rooms now.
We could just nip this in the bud right here right now.
Yeah. How?
We can just clear it. Rue,
hey.
What's going on?
Hey, look, Scott Pendlebury said Sloane plays tonight, I reckon.
Ditz, I was down there earlier. He wasn't one of the early arrivals, or if he was, he was hiding.
Gee, this is big.
Was he named as an emergency?
This is big.
Pay the fine.
Pay the fine. Do the crime, pay the fine.
Cashed up.
10 grand, is it?
I think, I think it might be a bit high.
Is it,
get that out
it's
the
like 20, is it?
You're quite accustomed to paying big fines. I mean, so
just repeat that tweet from Jay Clark, Louis.
Just that some talk that Rory Sloane may have passed the last minute fitness test.
Now that is ducks and drakes.
That's incredible.
About that, I wouldn't take it to the bank.
Well, where would Jay, our award-winning Jay Clark, get this?
Well, hang on, let's just stop down for a minute. Was he having a last-minute?
Can we get
test?
Jay Clark on the phone?
Yeah, well, it's a good idea.
Right, we're working on it right now. We're going to get him on the phone.
Before we had Dean Brogan on there, I was coming across the oval and Dean Brogan asked me. Yeah, there was a bit of talk around that Rory Sloane was playing, so he knew about it as well.
As if, why would he ask you? As if you're going to tell him?
I said, I don't think so.
He is a dumb runner. Seriously, thought he was dumb. He's absolutely thick.
Well,
he's
a bit of fun, isn't it? I don't know whether he will.
Right, we're trying to get Jay Clark on the phone. Jay Z, our man on Triple M, we'll find out more. Louis, just to you about Sydney and Essendon. How do you see your boys against the Bombers?
Yeah, I like them a lot up there. Obviously, Fantasia looks like he'll come back in. Hooker's the one that probably won't. Teams haven't quite filtered through just yet.
Highly unlikely. And join them
Hurley, an absolute definite. Geez, they were very impressive when Sydney got out of jail about a month or so ago up there. Should have lost that one. I just like what Sydney's been doing, and I think the week's rest really gives them a chance to reset and refocus at home. And even though Essendon played a great game up there on the small deck, I think they'll be able to squeeze the life out of the Bombers on that one. And so what, we've got a podcast happening with you, Pucker Up, and it features horse John Longmire. So check it out at podcast1.com.au or download it, Podcast One app, Horse in Good Spirits.
In good spirits. It's a podcast, Louis, about mental health. And I tweeted it today. If my son played footy, he's the bloke I want to coach, my son. A great leader. He understands it, but he's educated himself about the issues of mental health. And I can see Rue nodding here. It's an issue that every AFL club and coach has to deal with.
Yep.
And if you're a leader of people or somebody who manages people, I would encourage anybody to listen to this podcast. He is unbelievable.
He needs to sneak in an anger management course while in the coach's box.
No, he's learned to control that also, he told me, and I believed it. But it's a great conversation, and he's got them. You know, at the end of round six, they were Norton 6, and 14-2 since then. The bye weekend and the way the fixtures now set up for the finals favour Sydney.
Yeah.
Because they carry good winning form into the finals, and if they keep winning, they keep playing. So if you're Richmond and Geelong, if Sydney do get over Essendon, they've got to take on the Swans.
All right, let's get to a bit of other footy news that's been doing the rounds today. Louis, I heard you on Triple M in Adelaide this afternoon talking about Bulldog Jake Stringer.
Yeah, Damien Barrett last night suggesting not going too well at all at Bulldog Land. A little sort of fallout with the coach and a testy exit meeting was Damien Barrett's words. And
falling out with the players as well? Is that what I heard?
Well, I think it was the suggestion
some players?
That player behaviour had been a bit of an issue throughout the year as well with Damo last night on the footy show. Stringer, All-Australian 2015, dropped before the finals last year, managed to work his way back in, kicked a couple of crucial goals late, and had a tough year for many reasons this year, none the least a marriage broke up. So some off-field activity. Dogs surely wouldn't be entertaining getting rid of someone. They've got a forward line that is dysfunctional at best. Why would you get rid of the guy that has the potential to deliver 50 goals and be an excitement machine and probably just needs to work harder and lock down a bit
harder? Ask yourself that question. Why would you get rid of him? If he's really talented, why would you get rid of him if you were coach?
Well, there's only a suggestion around that he's not overly happy with what's going on and how it's been played out. So the reason you're probably getting rid of him...
So is he asking for the trade or is the Bulldog saying, we're going to put you up for trade?
No, it's all conjecture at the moment. It's Domo reporting there's been a little bit of, you know...
So the exit meeting involved them as the club and the coach calling some things out that they're not happy with.
Yeah.
So a player's always got two choices here. He either takes it on board, cops it on the chin, and then goes, okay, I'll use that as motivation, I'll turn this around. Or he cracks the shits and he wants out. So if he wants out and he's not prepared to take the feedback, then maybe a change is the best thing for him and the club. And what can you get back in return?
Or if the club as putting him up for trade if they're the ones that
I'd be surprised, though, would you? Wouldn't you?
I can add to that, Swat, that he actually, I'm just reading a bit more of Domo's story, that the main issue of the story is that he wants to explore the future away from the Dogs. He wants to.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
that is massive news. All right. Put your coach's hat on from somewhere else. Would you want him?
He'll find a home easily.
Mm. Well, he's definitely got ability. We know that. He's an X factor. They're hard to get. They're really hard to get key forwards with X factor. Not key forwards, but, you know, forwards that can win a game for you. So, and he's got the ability to put forward line pressure on him, and he's super quick. He's strong. He's fast, so he's everything that a modern player needs to be, but he probably needs to do more of the defensive pressure and try and get a little bit more consistent. But that role, Swatter, is the hardest role to play, that small forward, or, you know, that sort of role in the forward line. But clubs will be jumping to have a crack at him. But what they're prepared to pay might be a really good get for the Bulldogs. We know they're chasing some tools like Jackson Trengove, or Jake Lever's name's been mentioned with them as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what plays out. It's that time of the year when there's a lot of speculation.
Certainly is. And another name that hasn't gone away is that Bryce Gibbs hasn't yet, but will, asked to come home to Adelaide again. Roo?
He will.
Yeah. Okay. That's from Damien Barrett, and also Sammy McClure now has run with that.
Just going back to, pardon me, Jakey Stringer. If I was Jakey Stringer's manager, and I don't know who that is, I would be trying to identify clubs where they have a solid forward structure. I think if Jake is the main banana, I don't think that he's got the maturity at the moment to be that dominant forward presence. If he goes into a forward 50 where he's got great support and other influential players, I think he's the cream on top of a really nice
guy. So he can improve an Essendon or a Geelong.
Yeah, I think so.
Those sort of sides.
He needs two tools alongside him.
He does. He needs to be the third wheel that can float up the middle of the ground.
The Cats can't get Ablett. Even if he might be better than Ablett.
If I was Geelong, Roo, and I was involved in that decision, and clearly I'm not, I don't understand the romantic notion of getting Gary Ablett back at his age. I think Jakey Stringer at, what, 24?
Yeah.
The upside's significantly higher.
His best footy's in front of him by age and body, you know, maturity. So,
would you go after Gas if you're involved with Geelong?
Oh, you'd have to get him for next to nothing.
You'd have to be a steal.
The rumours are that Gold Coast want to not only get a player and pay for it, because they front-ended Ablett's contract. So effectively, they're still saying he's worth $1 million a year. So that's why Chris Scott said it's unlikely to happen. But I'll believe that when it actually happens.
Just getting back to Bryce Gibbs.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, don't think we're finished.
Just getting
Gibbsy
back to Bryce Gibbs, Roo.
Yes.
Yeah. What's happening?
Nothing.
Sit tight, Roo. We've got to get to a break. You're lucky. You've been
Jake
saved.
Clark will break that story.
We've got to get to one. Nah, I'm sorry, Ditz. Orders from above, but sit on it. It's coming back. It's not going anywhere. Just like Gibbs.
Pushing those buttons, boys.
Gibbsy's coming back too.
Let's go to a song. Yeah.
Apparently.
Louis, what I found interesting, how long does this music bed go for? What I found interesting, Louis,
is that we're going to go to a song.
Crow's very upset with Gold Coast talking to Charlie Cameron.
Yeah.
If I just mention two words, Bryce Gibb.
Hey,
very
last
upset.
Year. Who said? last that was year. After the finals, if you remember that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
After.
Oh, yeah.
After.
Yeah.
A bit different to during.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Let's go straight down to the boundary now for Bob Jane Team Arts. I can tell you, Twitter sphere has gone mad with a story that Rory Sloan has passed a late fitness test. GWS are talking about it in their rooms right now. Rhett Biglands is with the coach of the Adelaide Crows, Don Pike.
They might be talking about it, but we're laughing about it down here, Dits. But Pikey, very greatly appreciate your time tonight. So close to the bounce. Doctor's advice always takes precedent, but how close and how much did Sloaney push his own case to play?
Oh, look, he was keen to play, as you'd expect he would be. But, you know, he also had to take the advice of the docs and the surgeons, which was, you know, he's probably a day or two short, to be honest, was, you know, the unfortunate thing. But, you know, we'll get him right and ready for the rest of the finals.
And then the start's crucial again. The boys have to be switched on. We just chat with Dean Brogan about how intense it's going to be, and that's certainly got to be a key focus.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what finals footy's about. There's going to be a lot of heat around the ball. We recognise that. We've got to make sure we bring our level and, you know, really ask them some questions early about how we want to play the game.
Hey, Don, good luck tonight. Swatter here. Are you a fan of the pre-final bye?
Oh, look, it's one of those ones. We've known about it, so we've adapted around it. We'll be interested to see how it develops in years to come.
What about Sauce Jacobs? Had a tough lead in with the death of his brother several days ago. How's he been the last few days, Pikey?
Oh, he's been really good, Sauce. I mean, obviously devastating news for the big fella and his family, and you know, after the initial shock of it, you know, talking to him pretty regularly, he was really strong on wanting to play. And so I've supported him fully in that decision. And, you know, he's done all the training, he's been through all the meetings. You know, clearly he's dealing with, you know, that loss, but also with his family and the emotions around all that. But, you know, he's been, as you'd expect from a, you know, 150-game player, he's been professional through the whole thing. And, you know, he's really looking forward to the opportunity to play tonight. I mean, it's one of those things which I think he sees as a way of probably playing some respect to his brother and being able to perform and do the something which he loves and which his brother loved watching him do.
What are you most worried about with GWS?
Oh, look, I think we recognise all the sides in the finals are all dangerous, and GWS is no exception. They're, you know, their midfield clearly gives them a real lot of drive, and we've got to make sure we're on song when it comes to our stoppage work and our transition stuff.
Pikey, you must be wrapped that Paul Seisman not only got back in but showed a fair bit over in the West the other week.
Yeah, look, it's been good for Paul. I mean, he obviously had a really slow start to the year, and probably from about the middle of the year had to come in and get some match fitness under his belt. And it was fair to say for a few weeks there, he was just sort of playing at the level. And when he was challenged to lift his rating there, he stepped it up at Sanford level. And to come in and play the way he did last week is the sort of player we knew we were recruiting. And after a slow start, we'll hopefully can now have a big finals campaign for us.
Pikey, you've got two magnificent players that give you a lot of drive off the halfback flanks. Would you say De Boer's been brought in for that sort of reason?
Yeah, don't know. I'm not sure if it's specifically for that. I know he's previously played as sort of a pressure forward, not necessarily as a run with forward, but, you know, that'll be with GWS and their decision as to how they want to attack the game that way. But, you know, we expect he's going to play forward, and we expect he's there to do a job, which is to provide, you know, pressure across their forward half.
Pikey, coming into a final series of two losses is not perfect, but it's understandable given the predicament that the Crows were in with not much to gain out of those winning games. How did you handle that? How did you talk to the players about that, and how have you prodded them up for tonight?
Well, two quite different games, to be honest with you. The Sydney game was a great contest here, and, you know, I thought we did a lot right on that night, and it was disappointing not to get the result given the energy the players put into it. And again, we walked away from there understanding that we can't give a side a four-goal start, as good as it was to claw our way back into that game. And the last game against West Coast was a bit of an interesting one because, you know, clearly we had some guys who we left behind, and given the way that the other games panned out, there wasn't a lot to play for. So, but it was a good reminder for our guys. If we divert away from what we know it creates us playing good, strong footy and winning footy, then we're going to get hurt. So that was probably the lesson we learned out of those 2 weeks.
Pikey, I enjoyed your comment earlier in the week. Premium on ball take and field position. Finals is all about being clean.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's the composure to come out here and on a, you know, when you're playing for a big prize, and tonight it is a big prize, we shouldn't shy away from that. We're playing for an opportunity to host the preliminary final. So, you know, we've got to stay true to our process because that's what will lead to the outcome. But, you know, clearly the essence of the game and the fundamentals of the game and being able to do that under pressure and when required are pivotal to get the result tonight.
Good on you, Don. Thanks so much for talking to us. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Don Pike, never ruffled, never flustered, Roo. Very much in control, isn't he?
Oh, well, you heard Swatter talk about man management, the ability to get everyone in the right headspace. He's an experienced coach. He's a smart man. And you heard Josh Jenkins, if you read Josh Jenkins talking about Don Pike, he's formed great relationships with the players, and I think that's absolute key to being a good coach.
Yeah, good on you, Roo. All right, let's go to Louis because the teams have been announced for the other finals. What team news have we got there for us?
I can tell you, like Donny Pike said, AFL have confirmed Sloane's not playing, all right? So teams are as selected.
It was good.
It was beautiful. Really enjoyed it. This is massive, though. Geelong, Selwood's in, obviously. Guthrie, Zach's in. Menzel omitted.
Okay.
Again.
Kidding.
Okay. And also a Wiley Buzzard goes out there for the Tigers. Josh Caddy, as expected, in. And Markov goes out for the Swannies. Naismith, Hanbury, and Papley. Tippett omitted. Cunningham
Tippett omitted.
Got squeezed. And Will Haywood omitted as well. Yeah, Tippett.
And how many changes is that?
Three. So Hanbury and Papley were always coming back in, and they've gone with Naismith instead of Tippett.
Gee whiz, it's about 600 grand.
Around 23 there. Rising star Will Haywood got the flick too. And Bombers, Hurley is in, Arazi of Fantasia. Out go Heath Hocking and Jaden Laverty.
So that means the big fellow
Carl Hooker not playing,
up.
Did yep. not come up. Port Adelaide versus West Coast, Jarman Impey in for Aidan Johnson. Mm-hmm. So a bit more experience there, same
hang
sort
on,
of speed.
Hang on. Only one change.
No Jackson Tringo, I repeat.
Gee.
Backing in the youth.
Sticking in with Todd Marshall and the kids. And West Coast, no change. Your team lineups. Dits?
Louis, you're a Swan, an ex-Swan. The Kurt Tippett saga, and I think it's been a saga from the day he went there, to be honest. Have they got that horribly wrong? or only a little bit wrong?
Look, they'd love not to admit it. I think when you do things like that, you hope you're going to get a player and a guy that's going to really contribute and be a consistent performer. And your greatest comparison stick is Buddy Franklin. Like, you've gone two long-term deals, and it was probably the precursor to be so bold to go and grab Bud. But if you're going to look at Tipo and you're going to say, where did he play his best footy? Adelaide. I don't think they've got a great consistent year.
He played his best at Adelaide, did he?
I reckon when he kicked, what did he kick 1 year? Close to
a good 40
odd goals and kicked some goals in a big final. Yep. I would think Sydney, upon reflection of it all, was worth the gamble, but I think if they're going to be honest about themselves, that it hasn't worked.
Hang on, it's a gamble that turned one club upside down, got them fined, got them restrictions.
That wasn't his fault.
No, but he was connected to the deal, though. It's a deal that went horribly wrong, whichever way you look at it. I'm just arguing he was never worth it in the first place. Oh, it should never have happened.
Look, a lot of players get played on speculation.
Yeah, you're a former Swan Schwatter. They got this terrible... How can you pay a bloke supposedly $800 a year and he can't make your side a couple of years down the track?
Yep. That's the way it happens sometimes, Dits.
Oh, come on. No, that's not the way it happens sometimes. We're talking 800 grand a year, not 150.
I know. But that's the modern market, though, too.
Ditch you into your horses. You go to the yearling sales. You purchase on potential.
This one had a few runs, though, didn't it?
And the last run it had when they got it, it was going okay.
I think it's fair to say they wouldn't be happy with where they're at.
No.
Let's head to Melbourne now. I reckon this man, I know, our number one recruit on Triple M this year in 2017. He's a part of the Friday huddle. And Louie and Roo and Shry, I just hope he dumbs it down a little bit tonight for us, because I've heard him all year and he uses a lot of big words, very intelligent.
He was on the front bar last night. Did a very good job, Dick.
Righto, let's go to him now. Chris Judd, a very good evening to you.
Gentlemen, good evening to you guys. I'm very, very looking forward to watching this game on television.
I hope you didn't use too many long words on the front bar last night. You totally lost them.
He did refer to himself as the people champ.
Just kept it simple, Roo, but it is a very good show, the front bar. Always good fun to get on there and talk a bit of crap.
I love how you said, or Sam Pang insinuated, you won your second Brownlow going at half rat power, Juddy. That was nice.
Always looking at opportunities to build a brand, you know that.
Juddy Roo was on a couple of weeks ago, and I worked with him, and I said, how'd he go? And he looked, from what I was watching, his pay to do the show was 3 pints. That's what
I looked like. Yeah, well, Scotty Cummings is mowing through pretty quickly at the bar. I think they have to move him away at some stage so as not to run out of the Carlton draft. So that's what happens there.
Juddy, tomorrow night at the MCG, sold out in just about record time, it felt like. It's going to be a huge game. It's a toss of the coin, isn't it? The old Tigers have ended up with a home game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they knocked off the Cats.
Yeah, I actually like the Tigers. Yeah, you're right. You know, the Cats have obviously been great all year as well and deserve going into the game as slight favourites, but it's been very hard to score against. It's been really even this year, and they've lost a couple of close games. I think they've had that close one against JWS, and bar a few close losses, they could have finished, you know, first or second on the ladder. And I think they're a different team to what they've been in the past, and I'm going with the Tigers tomorrow night.
Juddy, is there any danger with the amount of money we're paying you? You get a decent phone? What's happening here? Are you down underground in some sort of bunker? No, you're a bit scratchy.
I'll just move around. How's that about?
Oh, that's all right. Well, I just need you to hear this next question.
I'm just trying to get as full kids as possible, which is probably in everyone's interest. Yeah. I might just take it outside.
That's better. That is better. Now, I need you to hear this question. Bryce Gibbs, a Carlton man, has been linked with a return to Adelaide once again.
Has he?
Yes.
By one of the men sitting in your box, is that right?
No, well, he's not saying a lot.
Thank you for running commentary.
I know how much value Roo puts on a contract, and I know that a man of his integrity wouldn't come after a contracted player. I just know that's out of character. That's not the Emerushito I know and love. So
he would get his henchmen to do it, Juddy. Exactly, he wouldn't do that dirty work.
Exactly right.
I've heard.
His word is his bond, Emerushito. So exactly I'm sure we can push that one to the side.
God, I've heard some bullshit in my time.
Yeah, me too. The meter's going off. It's going off the charts at the moment.
What? Come on.
Juddy, you're loving your time in the media. You're doing wonderful things. We're loving Friday nights, especially Judge Juddy.
It's been good fun, yeah. It's been good fun. We had a few hiccups there mid-year where some of the legal teams suggested I was getting a little bit close to the line. I'm not sure if there were quite as many complaints as they were making out, but we managed to fight through that. And it's been a really good year, though. Pretty much a brand new team for Fridays. And we've all got along, and most of all, we just had some good fun. So it's been good that a few people have been listening.
Can I throw a controversial question to all of you, and obviously including you on the phone there, Juddy, but Gillon McLachlan Monday night on the couch suggested that to keep Tom Lynch at the Gold Coast, I found this quite incredible, to be honest. The number one man in the AFL said he was prepared to make Tom Lynch an ambassador, an AFL ambassador.
If he'd signed up there
if
already.
If he'd signed with the Gold Coast, he would therefore top it up with how
consider
much.
Consider it, yep.
Now, is that ethical in this day and age? Is it right? Everyone else, every other club has to stick to a salary cap, yet we're saying, oh, but Gold Coast, we'll help you with a couple of mil to make sure you keep your star player.
Juddy, you go first.
Well, Johnny, you're probably pretty well placed here because you potted me before after the Visi board deal.
Yeah.
Well, I just question Tom's experience in ambassadorial duties, and there's only one man who's got a lot of experience in that area. I've done the job with recycling. I put it on the hat.
Yep.
I'm putting my hand up, and I'm prepared, if the deal's right, to take that on board.
So, I thought you'd be Noosa first. Juddy, you're spending a lot of time up there.
Noosa might work better, but the deal's got to be right.
It'd be easy to do the weather up there for Beck too, 25 every day.
Yeah.
That's right. But, in all seriousness, it is an interesting one, isn't it? Because just because a team's going poorly, it doesn't mean they can just get endless leagues up to get them back on track. Essentially, teams going well has to be earned. And I think most of the teams would have a few questions everyone answered if the AFL moved forward with that plan.
Swatter, there'd be a few Melbourne clubs chasing him hard, and they'd be absolutely filthy with the AFL if they did that.
Well, it's actually hard to comprehend that the man in charge of the AFL has actually said that openly on a football program. And if I'm Mark Evans, come Tuesday morning, I'm putting a call through to a bloke I used to work for and say, okay, how do we make this happen? It's collusion.
Well, it puts it beyond doubt because they'd pay him, probably more than anyone in the comp to keep him there anyway. And if he was topped up by whatever sort of ambassador deal, whether it's $500,000 or plus, well, then it just gets the deal done, doesn't it?
Does that just reinforce what issues are up there? And if the AFL are prepared to come out and make statements like that, what is going on up there?
I'll tell you what it proves. You can gift the club any number of concessions. If you don't get them right, it's no guarantee it's going to work.
All right. Juddy, before you leave us, you said that you like the Tigers tomorrow night. Is there a team that you're out of the eight that are left? Who do you like for the big one? Who do you think can go all the way?
I'm probably leaning towards the Swans, to be honest.
Yep.
Smart. Swans or DWS for the whole thing. I actually think DWS is an upset tonight.
Which will
be controversial. I think it is going to be a super game tonight and a super final series.
Yeah,
exactly.
No doubt about that.
He's texting Bryce Gibbs right now, Juddy. Because of that.
Juddy, thanks for joining us. We look forward to hearing you tomorrow night on the Friday huddle here on Triple M. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There he is. Juddy.
Chris Juddy's been a great addition to Triple M this year. There's no doubt.
Breath of fresh air.
Yeah. So, he likes Sydney or GWS, Warner?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to disagree with the Sydney part, but I don't think the Giants will get over Adelaide tonight.
You don't?
No.
And why?
Just think the home ground advantage, and they're playing good footy. And I saw what happened to the Giants 2 weeks ago against the Cats, and they were deplorable.
I reckon they'll be happy to get home. I reckon this might sound ridiculous, that whatever happens, if they can get up and win, it'll be great. But it won't be the end of the world because you'll want to take them home and then get them on a bit of continuity and trying to play their way through to the grand final.
I wonder if Mark Stevens can give us any sort of clarity on the Bryce Gibbs coming back to Adelaide story.
Someone
who's given us nothing. Boys, I'll be back in 15.
We welcome our newsbreaker on Triple M, Mark Stevens. Steve-O, welcome.
Hey, Dits, boys. It's pretty fresh down on the boundary there. Just had a chat to Stevie J. He's up and about. He wanted to play tonight, obviously. Looked at the skies and said, if it starts raining, I'm a chance. But unfortunately for Stevie, a little bit of blue sky and no chance tonight. But he's up and about, Schwatter. He thinks the door's still open. And his words were that there's always changes in finals.
Yeah.
Blokes get suspended, blokes get injured. So that door is still ajar.
So he's praying for Toby Green to do something silly tonight.
Well, he's on the brink, yeah.
Team Brogan said before that he's been up to the MRP nearly every week, so he's a chance.
But definitely the queue's not in the rack, put it that way. Still thinks he's
that's
got
that's Stevie
a big
J saying that, though. But do you think that that's the case from the club's point of view?
Well, if there's a change or an injury or two, he could come in. There's no
absolutely,
doubt.
Absolutely.
But if they win tonight and get through unscathed, it's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, and if the three tools don't work, he'd have to be close as well, wouldn't he? I would have thought.
Yep. So, he played that game down in Geelong, was probably a bit underdone, and I think deep down probably regrets that he had a run in that one.
Because BT mentioned to us on air here today that potentially he played his get-out-of-jail-free card there, that he may not have been in that side, but went to Leon Cameron suggesting, mate, hey, give us one more crack at it to show that I've still got it.
We saw the shots in the rooms afterwards. Schwatter, he was quite emotional down there. He probably thought, well, I've blown my chance here. Yeah. But I'd love to see Stevie back. Be a better spectacle if he was playing tonight.
He's good to watch, isn't he, Stevie? No doubt about it.
Hey, what's going on at the Bulldogs?
Well, yeah, interesting one with Jake Stringer. I think the exit meeting was pretty honest and brutal. And I think my reading of the situation is that the Bulldogs are quite open to trading him. Stringer's quite open to staying at the Bulldogs. But I think it's more of the Bulldogs' decision on Stringer. And my mail is that Geelong have been showing a lot of interest in Jake Stringer and were showing interest well before this story went public. So perhaps Stringer is target number one.
Is he an easier
and not Gaff.
They just dropped Menzel too for
they
this
did.
Weekend, yeah.
Obviously, Menzel and Motlop not contracted at this stage. You doubt whether they'll be there next year. So could you see Stringer playing with the Tomahawk inside 50 down at the Cattery?
I think we discussed earlier that he could be a good fit for him, for them. They could be a good fit for Essendon. He could be a good fit for a few sides, really. So, but if they're the ones that pushed him out and you're a club looking to recruit him, you'd want to do your research on why they've pushed him out. And there's been a bit of speculation.
Well,
at
he's
the
definitely
Bulldogs,
talented. There's no doubt about that.
About behaviour at the Bulldogs and about some infighting as well. So.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty solid individual, Jake Stringer.
So pushing him out then?
Well, maybe they've it's a mutual thing where they've had a bit of a word over an exit meeting.
You said before that.
Yeah, it's maybe more the Bulldog way. I think they see him as tradable because the issue is, Ruan, you know this better than anybody, he has currency. So
they also need a forward line to kick enough goals.
He's under contract, he has currency, and they may think, well, we can get a really good price here for.
You trade
Jake
players
Spring.
From an area that you've got strength in, not from an area that you've
but
got
look
a weakness.
Look at the turn in Mark Rusciuto. We've been coming to you for Bryce Gibbs, and you've given us bugger all.
I just like getting into
you get killing another club, and you're torturing Steve about our bloody Jakey Stringer.
When the shoes
this
on the
unbelievable,
other, when the shoes on hey? The other
yeah. unbelievable.
Take the opportunity.
Well, he's certainly not coming into state, Roos, so you can keep your hands off Jakey Stringer. He's got two young kids that will be staying in Victoria.
Bryce Gibbs, what's he doing?
Well, Gibbs would be half keen. It's just whether Roos can actually get the job done. I mean, last year was a bit
contract
of a pass.
Contract player, Steve. It's up to Carlton, isn't it?
I mean, you'd love to have Bryce Gibbs out there tonight. If you're able to get the job done last year, I think you'd be short a price.
Might need to change the
player, Steve.
Might need to change
Carlton,
the assassin who you send across this time to get
hang
the
on.
Job done.
What do you mean? Don't just mutter under your breath. Say it out loud.
He's a contracted player.
2 years to go.
What's up to Carlton?
What does that mean in the modern day?
It's up to Carlton if they want to let him go or not.
They need to come and approach you, do they, and say, do you want to do a deal? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying that's how it has to happen, but if you're signed to a club, then it's their choice. Players just can't leave.
Is that what you've told? Have you told him that?
Came to you?
I don't get involved in
that. But what have you got, Rude? What have you got in terms of picks and cap space? It's going to be tough, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you fiddled around last year, wasted everyone's time.
Well, Lever's going, so there'll be a bit of room there.
Yeah, there will be. Now, what is the latest? Because I love coming over here and talking to you, Rude.
See, this is why I was going to him. Don't you have to go, Steve?
Look, we all know it's a done deal. I mean, over in Victoria, everybody's just got it written in the pad. It's either Melbourne or Collingwood, and a done deal. I mean,
a done deal to two clubs.
Either or. He'll be back in Victoria. Mm. I mean, he's taken.
What do you want for him, Ru? In return?
I haven't thought about it. I didn't think we were losing him.
Oh,
what would you get for it? What would you want?
I'm not the director of footy at the Adelaide Footy Club.
I'd want a
first round draft, a late first round draft pick.
He's late.
Late.
Yep. He was pick 14.
I'd say top 10.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah, he was pick 14, and his currency has lifted since then.
Yeah.
Well,
significantly.
Yeah.
So top 40 players in the comp.
I think he's in the range of pick 5 to pick 7.
Could you sort of put in a Bryce Gibbs three-way trade there to make that one happen?
Yeah. Well, no, I'll take that back to the list manager.
So, yeah, go via Melbourne.
Hey, you saying he's going. He's playing tonight. He's playing in good form. He's had a great year.
Media commitments on hold, just like Danger. It's playing out the same way, Ru.
That was a bit strange, wasn't it?
Steve-O, can I ask you, Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove, is he still linked to the Bulldog?
He is, and they're more of a link, I think it's Winks odds. Actually, sure.
Yes. Really?
What are you doing pushing him out?
No, I'm not.
You're unbelievable.
I want him at Port Adelaide. No, I'm asking the question. What does Steve-O know about?
Well, obviously a free agent. He's not getting much of a crack at the moment.
Hasn't been picked this weekend.
No, so I think similar to Menzel, I'd say, well, if you're a Trengove, you're sitting there, well, why would I stay here? I've got options probably at the Bulldogs. He can play that second ruck key.
They get Lever and Trengove? Would they go for one or the other?
Lever's manager has said, told the Bulldogs, I think, that they're out of the mix. So.
Okay.
Which is strange behaviour too. If you're an Adelaide player, just play footy for Adelaide. Clearly he's checked out, Ru.
Gold Coast coaching. What's the latest there? Gold Coast coaching.
Well, I still think Johnny Barker is the favourite. A bit of talk about Ken Hinckley, Dits. What's happening?
No, surely not. Are you being serious?
Well, why wouldn't they ask the question? He hasn't re-signed beyond next year.
Well, clearly he's got next year, though.
Koshy's been very adamant to get your hands off him, and they're back in love, aren't they?
Kenny, hang on, Koshy, if he's contracted to coach Port next year, doesn't he have to coach Port next year?
You'd think so, but contracts
can change. Unless the club's happy to let him go.
What if he was offered 5 years at Gold Coast? He obviously started up there, didn't he? And he really set the tone on the goal. He was virtually coaching them.
Steve-O, we talk to Port players every week, don't we, Ditson? Same with you, Louis. And they love Ken Hinckley down there and think he's doing a fantastic job. I'd be very surprised if that happened.
But why wouldn't Gold Coast ask the question, given his history?
You can ask the question, but why would you leave Port Adelaide? Yeah. I mean, Port Adelaide are in a premiership window, and they've got great kids on their list, and they look set for a sustained success, which is a fair bit opposite to where Gold Coast are at.
Stover, is the Gold Coast, do they need the experienced person to be able to bring it all together? Or is Mark Evans going to be able to handle all of that off-field stuff? Because I noticed with interest Marcus Ashcroft on the selection panel. Now, all the rumours you hear out of up there, out of the Gold Coast, suggesting that those who have been in charge for so long, and Marcus has been around for a long time, that why would he be involved in the next process if he has been there and overseen a culture which is obviously terrible?
You maybe need someone from within to and Neil Craig's on it as well.
Yep.
Which would be good for John Barker. You would have thought.
Oh, Craigie, he wouldn't be biased. And I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, but he'd know a lot about John Barker. So
the only real football person on that.
Mark Evans is on.
Is he on the...
And there's a psychologist as well, I think.
Yep. Mm. But Craigie, I think he'll be voting for John Barker.
Where's your mate Rocket going to end up?
Well, he's got some options. Maybe back at Collingwood, Swatter. Could he be the director of footy? Go back.
Maybe.
What's your
director of coaching, maybe. Help Bucks out with some mentoring.
What's your thoughts on Gil McLachlan talking about Tom Lynch potentially being an ambassador at the Gold Coast? We're all a bit baffled about it, to be honest.
Well, it was strange, wasn't it? You're trying to have a socialist sort of even competition, uncompromised, and then you've got the CEO saying we'd maybe help out. We're sort of
has anything
known.
Been said about that?
It has. It's been a big story in Melbourne, Rude. It was a surprise, no doubt, because you don't need that from the CEO at all. And we sort of know deep down that maybe they do help out these clubs, but not publicly. And it puts pressure now on Tom Lynch as well.
But, Steve, let me put it to you this way. Quite simply, if a club does it, they've breached the salary cap and they're in a lot of trouble. But if the AFL does it, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's terrible. The Steve Hocking appointment, a good one?
Good one. Yeah, solid, straight up and down.
Not good for the Cats.
No. Not good for the Cats, no. But he's not part of the sort of private school set, in the AFL, where there's a bit of a club there. So he's just straight up and down. Boy from Cobram up on the Murray River.
Yep.
Not quite Riverland country, a bit further up the Murray than that one, Roo. But a ripping guy, great appointment, and he'll be straight down the line. There's sort of no bull dust about him whatsoever.
Will Gary Ablett get to Geelong?
Well, it's going to be tough, and... they obviously say that it's almost mission impossible. And I've just brought Stringer into the mix, Roo. So you'd have to question now whether that's going to happen. Who would you prefer? Stringer for 10 years or Gaz for 2?
The fans would love Gaz, wouldn't they? If the fans picked it today, it'd be Gaz.
Well, Gaz can come down and pay his money and come in through the back door and watch him play.
Sit with his dad.
Yeah.
Stringer's an All-Australian, he's a premiership player, and he's, what, 22, 23?
23. Yeah, if there's nothing that you don't want to find out about Jake Stringer, you'd take him every day of the week.
No, he's a solid individual.
Yeah. But he's getting pushed out by the Western Bulldogs.
Well, he's just been a bit off form-wise.
He's had a tough year, Stover. He's had a bit going on.
Hamstrings.
Why wouldn't they back him in?
That's what I mean. I don't get it. Again, as a footy club, you bombed out probably with Trav Cloke, the deal, right? You got, as I said earlier, a dysfunctional forward line at best that you can't build anything around. And yet all of a sudden, the guy who's got the potential to kick the goals and do some really good stuff, and I know he probably hasn't lived up to expectation, but I think you're working with him as opposed to squeezing him at that age, because I think there's still plenty of time for the penny to drop and become a really good quality player for 5 or 6 years.
Any other fallout from the Dogs, given the fact that they haven't made finals this year?
Yeah, there was some pretty brutal feedback, I would have thought. And I think they'll come back and work pretty hard over
the pre-season. So what was the general theme of the conversation, Steve-O? Did they drop off their work rate through the course of the year? Was the appetite still there, the hunger?
A collection of everything. They had a lot of post-season surgeries, which were not ideal when you've got that short pre-season, and things just didn't happen. I mean, a lot went wrong. Tom Boyd, his issues with depression, you've got Cloakie's issues, as well, Schwatter. So, look, I don't think they were 100% switched on. They were going to sort of find that switch and couldn't find it. They couldn't flick it.
Steve-O, can I ask you one about the game in general? You mentioned the appointment of Stephen Hocking. Will the MRP, match review panel, be thrown out or totally overhauled at the end of the season?
I don't think it'll be thrown out. But how do you overhaul it? What more can they do? I think they've oversimplified
it as it is. It's stupid the way it is.
You think it's too simple now the way it is?
No, it's simple.
It doesn't allow for general feel of the game, I don't think.
They've taken a couple of the boxes out. Mark Evans sort of shrunk the categories.
Yeah, so they now try and make them fit into two things.
There used to be three. Now it's two. And look, I'm just totally confused. And the thing is that Ollie Wines, the one a couple of weeks ago where he went high, bumped, he got off, and then you see Grundy go for just an unlucky tackle. Mm. What would you prefer?
Did Jimmy Bartel leave just because he was a bit disillusioned with it? Was that the story?
Business commitments.
Business commitments, Rube.
Wink, or?
No, I think it was a business commitment.
Okay.
But I prefer it when there was points and carryover, 93.75. The stats geeks.
I liked it when it was just 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Go to the show. When you rock up and plead your case. Have your day in court.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward back then, wasn't it?
Yep. Just sit in front of the tribunal, argue your case.
Yeah,
you get off and go, thank God.
Well, the other issue is there's a lot of players sort of hanging now on the sort of the two strikes issue out there with the, you know, one more little offence and you're gone.
I don't like that.
Joey Denner is one of those. There's some really big name stars going into this final series. Dusty Martin's another.
Can't we go back to a day where you saw an incident and you went, yep, he's gone, two games. He's
a thug. That's what I mean. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And if you don't like it, go and test it.
How convoluted is it?
Why the reluctance not to use precedent or previous cases to help make determinations?
Yeah.
It happens in a court of law, but it doesn't happen in AFL.
But it's the impact that I can't work out, and it's all about the guy falling the result. And the Ollie Wines one, that was the worst.
Change the Brownlow criteria as well while you're at it, Steve-O. Mm. I don't like that.
Well, we like the intrigue. That don't change the Brownlow.
No, you got to.
No, but people,
you have to.
Dangerfield's not an unfair player.
Oh, no.
He's an unlucky player.
Very unlucky.
Yeah, and unlucky is not unfair.
Yeah. And you blame the people who are messing around with the game.
As long as Chris Grant gets his, I'll be happy. We can do that.
Correct.
A bit of rain coming down here, boys. Stevie J could be a late changer. Him and Sloaney.
For Bob Jane Team Arts, throw straight down to Rhett Biglands on the boundary. Biggles.
Yeah, been walking around out on the surface. And, the rain's just starting to come down now, boys. Not a great deal of wind around. As we see both sides having shots from either end at the moment, not really favouring anyone. But on the radar, there is a little bit of rain forecast throughout the night. There hasn't been much today. We know the condition here of the surface is spot on. Three games here throughout this weekend, or four, I should say. Of course, the Port Adelaide West Coast game on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, there's a doubleheader with the SANFL finals on. So the match, and this one in particular, the surface, has to hold up in these rainy conditions a little bit around during the week. But at the moment, quite slippery, but still pretty good conditions apart from that.
Good on you, Rhett Biglands, down there for Bob Jane Team Arts. Roo, you've got the radar in front of you.
Yeah, there's just little speckles are going to float through throughout the night, but nothing heavy, I wouldn't have thought.
Okay, good stuff. Oh, the rain is falling at the Adelaide Oval. Roo told me the radar was absolutely crystal clear.
No, I did not. I said speckled showers, a little bit of light rain, but unlikely to be heavy.
That was just a credit for Fisherman's Friends.
That's unbelievable.
No, it's a bit light. It's only light.
Well, maybe Stevie J come in. Bring him in, guys.
Can they? Within the rules, can they, Steve-O?
It's against the rules. They'd be fine, I think, 10 grand.
But they can do it.
It's their club.
Ooh. So the AFL can pay its own fine. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just get to it, Get to it.
All right. Hey, you can follow this game, hashtag AFL Crows Giants, the first qualifying final tonight at the Adelaide Oval. What about tomorrow night, Friday night final, Geelong and Richmond at the MCG? Now, within a minute, a sellout. Are we talking for this final 95 or 100,000 people?
No, it'd be 95 for sure, wouldn't it?
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Steve, what is it like in Melbourne with the Tigers up and about?
Well, the noise, I think, will be greater than a grand final because it's more tribal. You've got the two supporter groups, and the Tiger fans, I think, are the loudest, probably with Collingwood in the comp. I remember that final against Carlton that they blew a few years ago. That was the loudest crowd I've heard at the MCG.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve.
Tell you what,
it was enormous,
bigger
wasn't it?
Than any grand final roar, and I've been to a lot, that is by far the loudest roar.
They were playing Hell's Bells AC/DC before the bounce, and the roar was unbelievable. Like, the grand final's still at 20% corporate schwatter where they're sort of sitting back relaxing.
See, the Greens were making a late push to try and get it to 50-50 for the grand final crowd. It lifted up from 34. Then I got awfully disheartened when the Labor Party came back with, well, that would be unfair on the corporates and the MCC members. And I'm going, hang on a minute, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. It's going to be wet over there, probably similar to here tonight, even worse, I would have thought.
But, who does it favour, Steve-O?
I think it favours Richmond. They're in good form in the wet this year, and I like the Tigers tomorrow night.
It's been a good call. Was it, they kept the line. I mean, Dimmer was challenged and questioned through a disappointing year last year. I felt that he wasn't quite sure with his game plan, but they backed him in. In its own way, it's a bit like the seven-year mark and the review that Geelong did with Bomber and Brian Cook and Frankie Costa and Dimmer. They've gone through their review. They've stuck fat, recommitted to him, and it looks as though he's got belief, and no doubt the players have had belief in the game plan too. They've been outstanding this year.
Been a big change, massive change, and they put a fair bit on Blake Carousella's influence from coming from Geelong. So, I mean, obviously, he knows Geelong too for tomorrow night, so that could be handy, but it's a big, big, big prize, big scalp tomorrow night, isn't it? Straight to a prelim in Melbourne for the winner there. So I'm really looking forward. There's going to be a lot of people. We know at the ground, but there'll be a hell of a lot of people on the couch watching. It's going to be a ripper.
So if the Cats had have ended up playing the Giants, would that qualifying final been at Simmons Stadium?
Yes, potentially, if Richmond had a home final in Melbourne as well, which could have happened.
Now, is there still contract obligations to be a game at the MCG this week or not? Or is it purely because they don't? There's not.
No.
See, I think even for the sake of 60,000 people missing out, it should be in Geelong.
You serious, Ru?
Absolutely, I am.
But you've just spoken about how good are the occasions going to be.
No, I do. But are we playing? Are we more interested in 60,000 people getting in or fairness in the competition?
Well, fairness is important, but just imagine those Richmond supporters missed out on a final.
Who cares?
Hang
it's Geelong's
home.
You are
a Western Suburbs, Footscray, Western Bulldogs boy. Surely the smaller clubs still deserve to get what they deserve.
So you're serious? You think this final should be in Geelong?
My hand's up for that.
Yeah.
I think that should be...
Steve-o.
The Bulldogs played Adelaide 2 years ago at the MCG. Should have been at Etihad. That didn't happen, Roo.
Yeah, but that's not against Adelaide. Didn't play at
they're
Adelaide.
Wrong when they do that, though, Steve-o. Mm. You can't just keep making it up on the run. If you have rules at the start of the year and you earn that final...
That's what they do, Dits. They make it up on the run. They change the
suit. GWS final against Bulldogs last year, Spotless was fine. But apparently GWS, if they were going to play Sydney, was going to be at Spotless.
Yes. Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be at a bigger ground then? Why would they not have a bigger ground and let more people in there?
Yeah, mate. Surely, Schwatter, can you add some sanity to this?
No. You're the journo.
Steve-o,
seriously,
is it all about money, is it?
I live in the suburb of Richmond. The MCG is the home of footy. I just can't wait to get
Richmond's
back there tomorrow.
Home,
we know all that, Steve-o, but you can't purport to be an even competition and then be able to pick and choose.
I think that's a myth. We would all like to think that there's an equilibrium. Mm. We would all like to think that there's fairness, but the reality is that it's not equal and there's elements of not being fair. Mm. We've just broken the attendance records. Mm. There's a big push from the AFL to make sure that the game is available to as many people as possible. I personally think, Roo, that if you finish in the top two and you've earned a home final, then you earn a home final at your venue, irrespective of who gets in and who doesn't get in. But the reality is that that's not the way the game gets run.
Can I just throw something at you here from Damien Barrett? AFL looking at shipping in soil for ANZ Stadium. It's cheaper to do if GWS get a home final.
Is that a joke?
That is not a joke. Mm. Not trying to be funny. Of course, surface issues out there. Mm. While the Swans had their agreements and arrangements playing their big games and big finals out there. That is crazy.
Steve, I get the atmosphere thing and I get the 60,000
and all that. Yeah, but what about the Richmond supporter? They've waited so long, Roo, and they can't
Richmond earn the right for home. Don't give me what the Richmond supporter wants to
do. You want to play at Albert next time, do you?
Wouldn't mind.
No, but seriously, if it's a difference between Geelong winning a flag...
Play all final.
Geelong winning a flag or Richmond supporters going to see their team.
But footy's not fair, Roo. Essendon got in on a very favourable draw this year. Other clubs had a tough one and just missed out.
Well, let's play all finals at the MCG.
Yeah, but the draw is the draw. We know that. I'm just saying, in an ideal world, you earn a final, home final, you get a home
final. So for the sake of fairness, should the top four teams have to have the bye weekend going into the finals?
Well, that's a different argument, but I'm for the no bye. I'm for two byes during the season. Like the players have wanted for 10 years.
It's policy on the run. It has been like that for a few years now.
Yeah,
and
but the finals have always been played.
I agree, Steve. Look, MCG is...
It was only a one-off,
home.
That Freo game. That's what sort of put a curveball into it. They shouldn't have done that one. They should have just kept all the finals at the MCG, the home of footy. That's tradition.
Which Freo one was a one-off?
Down there
Freo
went Freo beat Geelong.
They went down to Geelong
Freo
and beat
won.
Geelong.
Yeah.
Geelong came here 1 year when they weren't supposed to, against your mob.
What do you mean weren't supposed to?
I'm pretty sure Geelong were meant to get a home final one year.
No, nah, they wouldn't have come here. We played.
Would have been.
The Crows played Melbourne in Melbourne, and it was supposed to be here.
Yes,
that was a contract thing.
And Brisbane played.
Was it Collingwood in Melbourne, and they were supposed to play up there? Lee Matthews wouldn't.
I'm pretty sure the Crows beat that. Geelong at Footy Park.
Yeah, we've got to maximise attendances, guys. Like 95,000 will be the highlight of the year.
Huge so game. Your mob in future, seriously, you've got about 8,000 supporters.
Not anymore, 50.
Get out. Where are they?
They won a flag.
Where are they?
They've all dropped off.
Have you seen your crowds? Were they? Over 50 every week.
They don't pull the sheets down like Port used to.
they're getting nasty here now.
So in future, what would happen is you'd be playing the Crows. I said, we'll play it in Adelaide. Because Adelaide will get 55,000, but the Bulldogs will get 15,000 in Melbourne. That's what you're saying right now.
No.
You are.
No. Maximise the crowd.
Maximise the crowd. So don't play it in Melbourne.
Not in a state.
Bulldogs don't.
Not in a state.
We'll come to Ballarat.
Go to Ballarat, you blokes.
Mars Stadium.
That worked well.
Easter
seated on
11,000.
Yeah. No, you play Mars really well. Can we play
there? Another planet. You're on another planet.
We're playing in the VFA, aren't we? It's not even the VFL anymore. We've gone back to the VFA.
Hey, who wins tomorrow, Steve? For you?
I'm on Richmond, actually, and I think Geelong.
So we've heard.
But the fact that they've dropped Menzel and big
buzzers
out as well. A little bit of indecision, I think, for Geelong. That's a big call on Menzel. Did he finish? What's he kick? 38
goals.
He's
kicked plenty of goals.
When was the last time a guy that's basically been a regular selection all year and has kicked 38 goals in this era?
He'd be very tight behind Hawkins for the goalkeeping.
Very worried about the Tigers' speed.
Speed on the outside.
To defend.
So they brought in young Guthrie.
Yep.
Yeah, and obviously Selwood's going to be a little bit underdone. Tigers at the G, the roar will be massive. I think they can get up.
Yeah, maybe they will.
Decision last week of Dusty to recommit, no doubt gives them another little injection.
Gives them a lift, no doubt, and Ralph Carr up and about. Great effort by Ralph Carr, the manager. And I think, Roo, I think players will be knocking on Ralph's door.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Down in his little office there in Lennox.
If you're the best player in the comp.
I just think there's players there thinking, gee, he's done a good job.
Did you be pleased to know that if Richmond do win, they do earn the right for a prelim final at the MCG?
Of course they do. And look, if you need any more information about the Richmond Football Club, ring Mark Stevens, the PR department for Richmond.
Geez, he got off the doggies quick, didn't he?
Yeah. Saturday afternoon.
It was short-lived, wasn't it? Right?
Yeah. Sydney.
Sydney.
Yeah.
You'd have to be on the Swans.
Tip it out.
That's a big call.
Massive.
Well, got a big game, though. Got a needful grand final. Big game for him.
There's been some big calls. You'd think that Menzel now, seriously, probably won't be at Geelong next year. Mm. You'd have to think Tippett won't be at Sydney next year.
Who's going to take the money
off? They'll trade him off.
Who's going to take that cash?
Someone will
have to pay part of his salary.
Maybe Gill can make him an ambassador of the Gold Coast.
Roo's reveling in the Neefel
ambassador.
That's up and down the coast.
The only bloke in the Neefel getting $800,000.
And he can live at home.
Correct.
Where he was supposed to go in the first place.
He can sponsor the team he plays for.
I tell you what,
I own this team.
Every other side in the finals would be hoping Essendon win tomorrow, wouldn't they? Get rid of Sydney. Yeah.
Hey, what about Port West Coast Saturday night?
Oh, I think Ditz would be worried. I can see it now.
That's
Trent Gove to the Bulldogs.
Is it a sellout here? It's about a Port game. A
couple of thousand left.
The tarpaulins have been rolled out again.
Only on one.
They actually sold them and made some money out of them, Steve.
No, I think Port will win that game. In fact, I watched Port down in Ballarat, made the road trip down there against the Dogs. Very impressed. I think they're a dark horse to go the whole way.
Port?
Fairly dark.
Jeez.
I reckon it's fairly dark.
I'd expect that from Ditz, but not from you, Steve.
He's trying to suck up.
He is now. I'm over it. Yeah, Steve, that's it. Finish. Right, we're going to a break. Go get your Richmond scarf and wave it above your head.
Captain Mike.
The newsbreaker, Steve-O, the cheerleader, the Richmond footy player.
Oh, squash player. Is squash still going?
Right, gee whiz.
It's getting personal.
Poor man's tennis.
Jeez, I wish you had a comeback.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.